The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Book of Ephesians, chapter 5, starting, if I may, again in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26, he gave himself for it that he might sanctify or set it apart and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word of God. Verse 27, once it is set apart and cleansed, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And would you notice, is again, sanctify, verse 26, cleanse. Why do you clean the bride all up? Why do you clean the body all up? Why do you clean the person up? So that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. Underline the word, if you would, himself, to present it to himself. In the light of that, go with me to the book of Philippians. Just a couple of pages, the book of Philippians, chapter 1. We shared last time in verse 5, for your fellowship, Paul was praying for them, Paul was thankful for them. Verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel, that kind of having in common the same Lord, the same Word of God, the same communion table, the same life, the same love. And it had to do with truth, it had to do with rightness, it had to do, remember we shared together the word fellowship, had to do with a relationship that is the basis, is the foundation for what is manifested that you can see. We could gather around the communion table on the basis of the fact because we each one are supposed to have a saving knowledge and relationship to Jesus Christ. We gather around the table based on that relationship, based on that fellowship. They had this kind of fellowship and Paul just was delighted with it. And from the very first day, with Lydia and the rest of them, they had this kind of relationship. Hard to come by today. And the reason for that is not many people are saved like they ought to be. Would you notice now in verse 6, it continues, giving you a basis for the thanksgiving, a basis for the prayer, a basis for the joy, the reason for it. Verse 6. Being confident from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing. Now the word confident there is a word that means something that has been done in the past and the action remains real and right in the present. With me, something that happened here and it continues to be so. The car was painted blue, and it continues to be blue. It remains blue. The word confident means to be persuaded. It means to win by words. It means to be influenced. And here, in the middle, it has to do having the personal thing. The personal thing of which I am concerned about. Convinced about, to suffer oneself to be persuaded, to be convinced. Having been convinced, having been persuaded, or as it says in your text, being confident. I have been persuaded, and I remain persuaded. Why can Paul, who's running all over the Roman Empire, it seems, and here is this little church in Philippi that he was at, why could he go all over and say, I pray, and I am able to pray for you with thanksgiving. I am able to bring you before God and be delighted. Why? Why can you do that? Because being confident, I am persuaded and I remain persuaded. What do you remain persuaded about, Paul? Why is it that you're way over there and you can write to these people way over there and you are so confident? Being confident of this very thing. Being confident of this very thing. And the word very there is making a very strong emphasis. It's making something have prominency of this very thing. I am confident and persuaded of this very thing. What is that, Paul? That he which hath begun a good work in you, that he, God the Father, verse 3, I thank my God, that he, God, which hath begun a good work in you, beginning something. Let me just take and see if we can do this. Do you notice in verse, end of verse 5, it says the first day, have you got that part? I'm going to go a little further now in verse 6. I want you to see another day. He met them the first day they were saved. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's another day. There's the day he met them and they were saved. And there's another day. It doesn't say the day he died. They died. It says the day of Jesus Christ. Now you know there's the day of the Lord and there's different kinds of days in the Bible. This word day of Christ, as it's used here and it's used elsewhere, this word day of Christ has to do with the church. It has to do with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I am coming to take you to be where I am. That is the day of the Lord. It's his day. He's doing something today. He's doing something today. From the first day they were saved until the day of Christ. Hold your finger there a moment. Just turn a page or two back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not, do not pain the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed, stamped, enclosed, surrounded, unto the day of redemption. The day of redemption, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day that God takes you out of this, from the day they were saved until the day that Jesus Christ takes you. That day, that's the day. Day one till the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you have. Would you now notice with me in Philippians chapter 1? Here's the boundaries. Paul is saying that I am delighted to pray, to look expectantly from the day that the Philippians were saved until the day that Jesus Christ comes and finishes the work of redemption. Would you notice in verse 6, being confident of this very thing from one day to the other, that he which hath begun, God is the one doing something, he which hath begun, and the word begun there, having begun something, it means to make a beginning. It has a little preposition in front of it, to make a beginning in something, someone. To do, begin something in, to begin something in someone. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that God which hath begun, started in somebody, and the next word picks it up, he which hath begun a good work in you, there's the word I'm after, in you and begun, both have an in, it makes an emphasis, it brings us to the objective. What is the target that God is after? He's after you. He's after the believer. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. From the day he starts to the day he comes to take you home, the believer, he is doing something. God is doing something in the believer. The object of what God is doing is the believer. Where in the believer? In the believer. You see the word in verse 6, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. Do you see the word begun there? That is a word that is used in the Greek, if you were going to have living in that day, and you were to see a Greek sacrifice to the gods. This is the word that would begin the sacrifice. This is the word that you would write in the Greek language, the beginning of the sacrifice. Now, something else is interesting in this verse. Do you notice as you're reading down in verse 6, begin a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the word there, to perform, means to bring something to an end, to finish it, to perform something, to complete something, to accomplish something. And it doesn't only mean perfecting it, it means carrying it through to completion. It has to do with doing something from day one to the day Christ returns, to do something all the way through until it's finished. Now hang on to that, if you would. The word having, which will perform, is a word that has to do with what? It has to do with the word that is describing the end of the sacrifice. The beginning, verse 6, begun is the beginning of the sacrifice in the Greek language, and will perform it is the word that's used at the end of the sacrifice. Let me give it to you another way that may be helpful. In this ritual that they have in the Greek, when they sacrifice to the god, some gods, they would begin when a torch was lit with the fire from off the altar. They would take the torch and they would put it on the fire, and they would light the torch from the altar, and they would take the torch and they would go and stick it in a bowl of water. They would take this burning torch and they would put it down into the water, this blazing torch, and they would dip it into the bowl. And that water would now be purified water, and the water would then be sprinkled over the victim to be sacrificed, and over the people that are involved in the sacrifice. Everyone will be sprinkled with this water, including the victim. And when they were sprinkled, they were called holy or clean. Then followed what is called the sacred silence. And the worshiper who's been sprinkled, and the sacrifice who's been sprinkled, would be very quiet, and would make prayers to their gods. They would pray in quietness after being sprinkled. They would pray. And when they had finished praying, then a basket of barley would be brought out, and some of the grains of the barley would be scattered on the victim, the sacrifice, and the rest of it would be scattered on the ground. That's called the end of the sacrifice. the first part of the torch and the water and the sprinkling of the sacrifice. Now, what am I after in that? I was interested in this because this is the very phrase, the usage of the word that's used here. The beginning and the ending. The day, the first day to the day of Jesus Christ. And everywhere in between. He will begin something, just like the Greek ritual of the sacrifice, and he will continue to do it until the end. That means everything between the words, beginning and will perform, is part of the sacrifice. From the beginning of the ritual to the end of the ritual is one sacrifice. You with me so far? It's one sacrifice. The Lord Jesus is saying in verse 6, and the Spirit of God is saying through the Apostle Paul, and why the Apostle Paul can pray with thanksgiving all over Rome, why? Because the beginning of the sacrifice and the end of the sacrifice and everything in between is one sacrifice. What's one sacrifice? The believer is one sacrifice. The believer is the work of God preparing the believer from the first day all the way to the day of Jesus Christ. It's one long preparation. And that sacrifice, the believer, from the day they're saved to the day Christ takes them to be with himself, that believer is one sacrifice. And that one sacrifice is being prepared to be offered to God once for all forever. What is God after? Would you now notice in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he, God, which hath begun, initiated, begun the ritual of sacrifice, preparation, he hath begun a good work in you. Where is the sacrifice? It's in you. Who's the victim? You are. What's the work? It's a good work. What is the good work? To prepare your heart for a public presentation. A glorious church. You know, we get so tied up in trying to figure out what needs to be done here and there. We get tied up in many problems with people, persons, places. But when it's all done, what is the work that God is after? The work that God is after is your soul. You thought your social relationship should be better. You thought your job should be better. You thought your health should be better. You thought your wealth should be better. You thought all these things. Your circumstances should certainly be better. You deserve it. But that isn't what God's after. God is after preparing a sacrifice from the first day till the day he presents it to himself. The preparation is to present for an offering one believer thoroughly prepared for presentation before him. Why could Paul pray? Why could Paul be joyous? Because he knew that the God which started it here will finish it here. It isn't like so many things. You know, there are people artist starts his canvas to paint, and because of his inability, because of an accident or anything, he never finishes the canvas. He never finishes the painting. But God is not like any artist we know. Because what he starts, he finishes. There are no unfinished worlds. There are no unfinished sons. There is nothing God has done that is unfinished. Unfinished. What he starts, he finishes. Paul is saying, I know the God who has started something, that you and I have the same God, same doctrine, the same truth, the same Spirit of God, and that God that starts it here is going to finish it here. That's what Paul knew. Do you know that? Is that what your confidence is? That God is doing something in your heart if you're saved, and the heart is to be changed, prepared, a sacrifice for Him, to present it to Himself, a glorious church. Would you notice with me, verse 6 again, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, what kind of work is it? A good work. A good one. The kind of work that starts in the inside and comes to the outside. A good work. He that hath begun a good work in us will perform it, will finish it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Would you look with me for a moment in the Gospel of John, chapter 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. God works, and He's working. And when He starts, He finishes. Without haste, there is no inefficiency, there is no ineffectiveness. He has the power to finish what He starts. In John chapter 5, verse 36, But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to do, given me to finish, there's your same word, finish, will perform. That idea. The works, same word, works. That which God has given me to do, I am going to finish it. The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. I start something, I finish it. I start something, I finish it. Would you go with me to John chapter 6? John chapter 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. What's the work? That he would do such a work in your heart from day one, that you would be brought into fellowship with his dear son, into a partnership, and that partnership would carry through all the days of your life till he comes. And you would be a perfect sacrifice. Don't you not have it in Romans 12:1? Brethren, I beseech you, I beg you, that you present your bodies a living what? Sacrifice. That's the idea. What's he after? He's after changing your life. Are you letting him do it? Or are you looking for things out here again to be changed? Or is it not your heart that needs to be fixed? Do you ever notice how glum some of you looks most of sometimes? Do you ever look how you lost your joy? Do you ever look how hard it is to really pray? You drag your heels. Do you ever take a good look at it? Is that a good work? No, that's not the good work God does. We've lost our perspective when that happens. He which hath begun a good work in here. And God uses all of it out here, again, to reach in here. Look with me at John chapter 9. The Gospel of John chapter 9. The primary objective is that God would do a good work, having begun a good work in the believer. And in John chapter 9, you'll pick up the word work again in verse 3. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, the blind man, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. That God would do something in him, not in his eyes, his heart. Why was this condition so? So that God would do a good work in him. Look with me at Psalm 138. Psalm 138. The task of the Lord Jesus is to make us fit, prepared, ready to be presented to him. And Paul knew that. And Paul knew that what God started, God would finish, no matter what anyone thought or felt. And in Psalm 138, David says it this way, verse 8, "The Lord will perfect, complete, that which concerneth me," said David. "Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." That's me, said David. You started me, God. You finish me. What you started, you will finish. That was the confidence David had. Do you have that confidence? That what God started, do you ever think the day, can you remember back, some of you can, the day you truly were saved? What a difference it made in your life. What a difference. All the things, the load dropped, the sin was forgiven, and you had some freedom. Oh, you didn't know much, but you had that, just that extra joy. And then you lose it. Because you forgot the good work that he started. And you looked for many other things to happen. And God said, "No, where are you looking for things to happen? The things happen in your heart." And when you get grumbly and hardened, and oh, it's so easy to be careful of your friends, beloved. Be careful who you hang around. Because you'll pick up whatever they like, for good or bad, unless you're very strong. If they don't come across good, I suggest you redo them. I suggest you redo them. Because they'll make you sour. You'll lose your joy. You wonder where it happened, how it happened. Beloved, because someone else didn't have any joy, and you hung around with them, and pretty soon you didn't either. You didn't either. You lost it. Isn't that so with husband and wife and family? One of us gets off, and the next door the other one's off, and the next door the whole house is off. Just so catchy sin is, like sickness, disease. Too bad we couldn't catch health like that. But you can do it. You catch sin. You catch sickness. Have you got the idea? Be careful. Look with me at Job. Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22. And in order to reach our target, may I start in verse 8. And remember, Job was delighted to be saved. Job was delighted to say, "I have a Redeemer, and I know that when I die, I shall be with him." He knew that. Verse 8, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not here, there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work." God's working, God's working. He doth a good work, Job. To David, does he do a good work, David? Yes, he does. Paul, does he do a good work? Yes, he does. Job, does he do a good work? Yes, he does. And I'm trying to see where it is. I'm trying to see where the good work is that God's doing. I got all these problems that I've got, the plague. My family's dead except for my wife. My flocks and herds and possessions are gone. I want to see where the good work is. And I search to the left and the right. Verse 9, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me. Do you see the word I? I shall come forth as gold. Is that what it says? Not I will have my hands full of gold bars that I collected. Not I will come with a whole lot of things I've gathered up for heaven. No. I, Job said, will come forth as gold. David, what did you say? When God is done with me, I will be the end product of all that he did. God isn't after anything else. He isn't after the animals. He isn't after the trees. He isn't after how many children you have and don't have. He's after one object, ultimately, you. You. I shall come forth as gold. Would you go with me while I read slowly Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I want to ask you, as I read it, I want to ask, is that true of you? What I'm going to read, you have it in front of you to follow. I want to know if that's true in your heart. That's what I want to know. What I'm going to read, what you're looking at, I want to know if that's existent in your life. Being confident, being fully persuaded, being totally influenced, with the result that I remain influenced, being confident of this very pushing and marking out this very thing, that God, he which hath begun to begin in me a work, what kind of a work? A good work. He that hath begun in me a good work. Is that true of you? Is it a good work that he's done? I don't know, I'm asking you. It says what he starts is a good work. And what I want to know and ask myself, do I see him in my heart doing a good work? That's what I want to know. Do you? Do you see him in your life doing a good work? That's what you need to ask yourself. Boy, you want to be delighted to say, thank God. Thank you. Do you see as you read on? And we'll perform it, we'll finish it, we'll complete it. All the way to the end. And the word finish means absolute detail. Every detail is finished. Until, so far as, unto, the day Jesus Christ takes that which he purchased with his own blood home. What did he purchase with his own blood? You. That's why Paul was so thankful. Could you not do the same thing with your loved ones? Could you not say, I know that God wants to save my family. I know that he's committed to do it. And if anyone turns their heart to him, they'll be saved. I thank God for that. I'm not going to moan they aren't saved. I know my God wants them saved now. And the only thing standing between them and eternal salvation is their own free will. Their own determination not to believe. Thank you, Lord. Second, for those who profess Christ, if they're truly partners, fellow citizens, fellow participants, having in common, then I know the God who's in me starting a work and it's good is the same God in them. And I know whatever way he's going to allow in them will ultimately end up that they will be presented with me glorious. Oh, they may go through a lot more bumps and bruises. They don't have to. But I know that they're going to end up where I am. And the God who's working in me is working in them. And whatever God's doing in me and doing in them is a good work. And you ought to be content with that. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself and sad and having a pity party, I know some of you have. I wish we could eliminate them. No, we can't. You see? Good work. Boy, I thank God for that. Good work. Perhaps you have a particular prayer request you'd like to take. He which hath begun shall finish. so let it be.